As Mark mentioned, we're going to continue with this morning service, focusing on the Lord's Supper. And so myself and Jimmy and Brad will speak for a little while, some things to help us as we take that this morning. And I want to focus on a phrase that's used in John chapter 10. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." It's that phrase, "lay down my life," that I want us to focus on this morning. As we'll see this morning, this phrase is used pretty frequently to describe what Jesus did for us. What is that? It's kind of a specific phrase. It's not something we may probably don't use a whole lot outside of this context. What does it communicate to us? When I hear that, it also made me think of in Acts chapter 4, talking about Barnabas, that he went and had some land, he sold it, and he took the money, and he did what? He laid it at the apostles' feet. So that phrase carries the idea of giving up. It's sacrificial. It's also a choice. It's not something that happens by accident. We wouldn't say that someone accidentally gave up their life for someone else. That's something that's very intentional. And I think it'll become clear as we consider it this morning that this is exactly described what Jesus did. That he made a conscious decision to give up, to sacrifice himself for us. He also didn't consider himself at all. If you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, you know, I think it's hard for us, even maybe the most unselfish people, it's still hard for us to completely give up our wants, our needs, our desires. It's hard for us to fully be unselfish. It's hard for us to completely disregard anything and everything that we want and what's good for me. That's hard. But look at what Paul says about Jesus' mindset in Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, took the form of a bondservant, and came in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Was that good for Jesus? Was that in Jesus' best interest? Is that what Jesus wanted? Did he want to suffer and die the way he did? I think we'll see this morning that he did not. And yet he disregarded himself. And made a very conscious decision to lay down his life for us. In just a minute, Jimmy will talk to us a little bit more about the choice that Jesus made. And Brad will talk to us a little bit about what that means for us and what it tells us and what it teaches us. And then once Brad's finished, then Mark will lead us in another song, and then I'll get back up and make a few more comments before we take the Lord's Supper together. But as we do that, keep in mind this idea of sacrificing, of laying down that Jesus did with his life for us. Jimmy?
I'll start with the passage that Caleb referenced in John chapter 10. Jesus said in John 10, beginning in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus, the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, the one whom the Father knew and the one who knew the Father, chose to lay down, chose to sacrifice his life on the cross for his sheep, for those who listen to his voice. Jesus didn't die of some unforeseen accident that happened to him. He was not taken by surprise and killed. No one forced Jesus to lay down his life. No one took his life against his will. Jesus laid it down on his own accord. He went to the cross voluntarily and died for us. He had the authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. After his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus foretold his death and what kind of death it would be in John chapter 12. Let's turn to John 12, beginning in verse 27. John 12, verse 27. Now my soul has become troubled, and what am I to say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus responded and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for yours. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus knew what his purpose was. The purpose for which he came to earth was to glorify or honor the Father. He did that by doing the Father's will. Even when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 through 44, he prayed that if it was possible, let this cup pass from me. Even when he prayed that, it was always with the stipulation that God's will be done. Jesus put God's will first and did it even when it meant dying on the cross. God's will was that Jesus die on the cross and be raised from the dead to provide the way for mankind to be saved from their sins. Acts 4, verse 12, in referring to Jesus, says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19, verse 10. How thankful we should be that our Savior went to the cross voluntarily to be the sacrifice for our sins.
As we continue thinking about some of the things that Caleb mentioned this morning, as we put some extra emphasis on taking the Lord's Supper, as he mentioned, I'll hopefully help us think just a little bit, not only about what we often think about when we take the Lord's Supper, which is obviously the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, what he did for us, and the love and care that he showed for us, but kind of somewhat what it means to us toward one another, what it should mean to us towards one another as well. And that should be a fairly easy transition, right, from where we've been and what we've been studying this quarter, and even some of the thoughts that came up in the lesson this morning that Marlon brought up, and especially Shannon toward the end, as far as the fact that Jesus is the ultimate perfect example of how we should be to one another, and what we should be willing to lay down or sacrifice in that regard. If you would turn with me to John chapter 15, I'll read verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So as we think about this and think about this in the context here of friends, obviously we should definitely be willing to apply this concept to our brethren. And so what does that mean? What can that mean? Again, there were some things that came up in class this morning, just a few ways we could consider that as far as how we can sacrifice towards others in our time spent with one another, time spent serving with one another, at times maybe a financial sacrifice, and possibly as we think about some of the things that have happened this weekend, we may come to learn of other Christians who have struggled. So an opportunity for us to sacrifice something financially to help them, or it might just be, as Marla mentioned, just deferring to one another in thoughts or small things. But whatever it is, certainly we know that we're taught, and that's the principle that we're supposed to adhere to. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So again, we see that this isn't just some random thought that pops up occasionally, but it's obviously a recurring theme, right, that we can find in many different places as a requirement of Christian living, something that we have to be willing to do and have to seek out ways to do as we live. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Here is, we think about the relationships between husbands and wives, and this same type of sacrificial love that should exist in that relationship as we consider that and consider Christ's relation to the church and how it's often compared. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. So again, it's not a love that's conditional. It's not a love that we express to them when they do everything we want. We love them all the time. We love them, and we manifest that in our actions. So again, as we think about that, and we think about our willingness to do that, one final passage in Matthew 26 I'd like to think about. In verse 35, this is Jesus is again drawing near to the end of his life, but begins to share what's going to happen with the disciples. Yet they're unwilling to believe that. And in verse 35, unwilling to believe that, as he tells them that they will deny him because of and fall away because of him. In verse 35, Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. So we know how the story unfolds here with Peter and his actions. Even though he manifests to Jesus, he was willing to die for him. We know that obviously he doesn't. We see that in some ways still when things occur, he's not even willing to live for him. So as we think about this morning, let's consider how we can sacrifice for one another as well. Think about how Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for us. And again, think about ultimately For us to die for Jesus and to sacrifice for him, we have to be willing to live for him day by day as we strive to do that.
John 12, verse 36, Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Chapter 20 said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus was intent on glorifying his Father. And the way that he was able to do that was by laying down his life. Despite his dread for what he was going through, despite what fear he may have had of what would happen, despite knowing exactly what was coming and choosing to go through with it, he was intent on glorifying his Father. As Jesus is getting ready to lay down his life for Peter, Peter says, "Lord, I'll lay down my life for you." Then when the time came, he failed. When Jesus needed Peter, Peter was nowhere to be found. In fact, Peter was denying that he even knew Jesus. And yet Jesus came back to him a second time. And he tells Peter, "Here's what's going to happen to you. Here's how your death will glorify your Father." If Jesus glorified his Father by laying down his life for us, then we also glorify our Father by laying down our lives for him and for each other. And so as we take this Lord's Supper this morning, we're remembering Jesus laying down his life for us. We're also reminding ourselves that we lay down our lives for him. Now I suggest to you that if we only do one of those things, if we just remember that Jesus laid down his life for us, and yet we're not willing to lay down our lives for him and for one another, this is a waste of time. If Jesus' sacrifice doesn't call us to sacrifice, doesn't teach us how to sacrifice, how to love one another, then there's no point in me taking this today. I'm just eating a little cracker and drinking a little juice. like to read the words of one of the songs in our songbook before we take the Lord's Supper this morning. It's number 615 called "Lord, I Lay My Life at Your Feet." Lord, I lay my life at your feet, all my hopes, my plans, and my dreams. At the cross where you gave your life for me, Lord, I lay my life at your feet. Lay it down, at your feet, lay it down. At the cross where you gave your life for me, Lord, I lay my life at your feet. Father, we come to you this morning, grateful for the time we have together. Father, we pray that we be reminded this morning that Jesus made a decision, made a choice that he did not have to make. But because he wanted to glorify you and because he loved us, he made that choice to sacrifice himself, to lay down his life. We thank you for everything that that means to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray with me again, please. Father, we come again praying that the things that we consider this morning would teach us to lay down our lives for you. To give up what we want, what we think we need, to serve you and to serve others. Father, we pray that that would glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know if it's any surprise to you that volunteerism is on the decline here in the United States. Last year, with the threat of COVID-19, it is estimated that organized volunteering was down by more than 90%. That's a dramatic drop from the year before. People were seemingly unwilling or maybe just afraid to volunteer their time or their energies to programs and to things that oftentimes rely upon volunteers in order to get those things done, nonprofit organizations, activist groups, and those sorts of things. But the truth of the matter is, volunteering has really been on the decline long before COVID ever hit. We have become a more fragmented society. We've become more isolated. Everybody's got their own little corner of the world. I'll do my thing, and you just kind of do your own thing. We've been heading in that direction for a while. And so whether it's a lack of commitment on people's part, or maybe just a lack of initiative to get up and to stand up and to say, hey, I'm willing to do that, I'm ready to do that, we are very much living in a time where volunteerism is missing in our society today. Just for proof of that, just take a stroll through any of the businesses, the restaurants, and the stores that have the Help Wanted signs posted. Those things are in abundance today. It seems as if there's a lot of people who are not willing to volunteer, even if they're being paid for their efforts. But the call of the gospel, it's for volunteers. It's for people who want to do that willingly. It's for people who of their own volition make the choice to die to sin and to live for Jesus Christ. God does not force anybody to be a Christian against their will, just as God did not send Jesus to this earth against his will. Gospel is not about making people do something that deep down in their heart of hearts that they really don't want to do. No, the gospel is about people who want to emulate and follow in the footsteps of the Savior, the Master, who set the example of what it means to voluntarily lay down their life in order to take up his life. In Psalm 110, which is actually a messianic prophecy, David speaks of the Messiah, and of him he says in Psalm 110 and in verse 3, he says, "Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power." God's people have always been characterized by that spirit of volunteerism. It's the people who are ready to stand up and to say, "Here am I, send me." It's the people in the Old Testament who would bring their free will offerings and lay them down in abundance before the Lord. God's kingdom is not made up of people who have been drafted into active duty. God's kingdom is made up of citizens and of soldiers who have volunteered freely. Does that describe you this morning? I'm very appreciative of the thoughts that Caleb and Jimmy and Brad have brought to our attention this morning as we think about the voluntary sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Help us to center our thoughts as we partook of the Lord's Supper. We set aside this time now in our service to offer the Lord's invitation to anyone who has yet to respond or to anyone who may need to respond in some way. And that idea of volunteerism continues to be front and center in our thoughts because that's what Jesus is looking for. Jesus is looking for volunteers who will follow him gladly. People who will, out of their love for him, out of genuine gratitude in their heart for what he has done, they will then surrender their will to his will in obedience to the gospel. And so, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing song number 235, "I Gave My Life for Thee." It's a very unique song. It kind of takes a first-person account from Jesus. Jesus is saying these words to us as Jesus recounts some of the various ways in which he has sacrificed on our behalf. How he has laid down, given up of himself for us. And while this song is going to remind us of those things, each of these verses is going to end with a call for us to do some introspection. For us to think about, am I returning that to Jesus? Am I laying down myself for him? Am I giving of myself for him? Have I volunteered and sacrificed freely on his behalf? I need to just say to you very, very candidly this morning, that just as no one goes to heaven against their will, there's also a sense in which no one goes to hell against their will. You choose to do that. We all get to choose what we're going to do. In fact, right now, we are making decisions and we are making choices about where it is that we will spend eternity. But if it is your desire to go to heaven, the time to make that choice is not later. The time to make that choice is right now, while there's time and while there's opportunity. Now begin laying your life down for the King so that when he returns, you can be ready to meet him in the air. If there's anybody this morning who needs help in making the choice to begin serving Jesus, if we can help you to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, or maybe to start serving Jesus in a better way, get a fresh start, starting from this day forward, then we stand ready to assist you. Make your way to the front while we stand and while we sing.